interrupt your program to bring you this important podcast. How to 911.
Can you put me out of service on a podcast, please?
Hi guys, welcome back to How to 911. I'm Sammy.
I'm Erica.
And today is a re-record from something we've already recorded because technology has hated me in these last few weeks. And that's okay because I'm not its biggest fan either. So let's just get right into it. We want to discuss with you guys about kind of more in like alarm company side of things. But what really is important for us with alarm companies is like key holder and resident information, just premise information in general. Because if something is to happen with those alarms, we really need to know who to get a hold of to fix the issue, or I'll go further into detail about it in a second. But that's it. That's what we're going to be discussing. So starting
now.
Yeah, starting now, officially. The types of alarms that we get vary. We get medical alarms, fire alarms, burglary alarms. But the burglary alarms can vary from residential to commercial to panic alarms, mm-hmm. hold-up alarms. They come in very different variables. So depending on the type of alarm that you have or the type of device that you want it for, I guess, is what's going to get into us. But when we get those calls, the most important thing that we always ask is either have you contacted a key holder or do you have key holder information? Because even if this is the biggest issue, is like, even if we have information of like, oh, XYZ is the three people that we should contact that we have listed and connected to this location address, it's not always updated on our end. And most of the time people update, hopefully more frequently, their alarm company key holder information.
And so, key holder, just to make sure, is like a, we also call it a responsible party, someone who could quite literally hold the keys to the building, or who would come out. So it's usually like a manager or assistant manager, something like that.
Yeah, thank you. So if somebody has like broken into a building and we need to get a hold of somebody, an officer more than likely will say, can you contact the key holder, the manager, whoever's in charge of this property? And if we didn't get any of that information from the alarm company, we would go into our premise information, which it might have three people, might have one person. It really varies, but usually it's around 2 to 3 people, depending on how large the building is. So if it's like commercial, it'll definitely be like around 2 or 3. But if it's a residential, it'll probably be like 1. But sometimes we find that that's not the most updated. Sometimes I've called somebody at like 3 o'clock in the morning and they're like, I haven't worked there for 6 years. And I'm like, oh, great. So sorry to wake you up. Thank you for answering. Have a great night. So it, updating that information with not just your alarm company, but remembering that we in the police department, if it's a burglary alarm, need that information updated in our computer systems, because that helps us not call those people that haven't worked there for 6 years. So anytime there's a change in management or any type of person that we used to be responsible for that kind of thing, update us. And it's not a big deal. You can just send us a quick piece in the mail just saying like, hey, XYZ has changed. Sorry for that door slamming. But this is what needs to be changed and stuff like that. For medical alarms, it's a little bit different. We get a lot more information for those, such as like key locations and stuff like that. But again, having a person's name and phone number, especially if it's, say, somebody elderly fell and they want us to notify their daughter or their son or their child, anybody like their sibling, anybody that is relevant to them in their lives, they want us to notify that, and we don't have that information and they don't know that information, that might be a good thing to keep in mind for medical calls. It's like, well, I told my aunt that I'd let her know if this happened again so she can come help me get out of the hospital or whatever. So that's a good way, another way we can use that information. Fire alarms, exact same thing, especially if it's a large building. Knowing who to contact if there is a fire, if there is damage, we need to know who's responsible for that, because the fire department needs to help pass on this information and also make sure that everybody is, I mean, we have help such as the Red Cross. Mm-hmm. They help with like housing and stuff like that. We mm-hmm. reach out to them for that, but like how do we secure the building? If it is completely torn down, how do we make sure that like it's not, I don't know, accessible from the public? And I know that a lot of that is on the fire department's shoulders to like reach out, and we have companies that we can reach out for like boarding and stuff like that, but the fire department really needs that help with key holders. Yeah.
And even if it's not something as devastating as that, like who can help reset the alarm if the fire department can't do it, or who can help give access if it's not an emergency to the roof, if they need to get up there, who's the maintenance person on site?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good to know. And then basically if we see a new business, like the other day, someone was like, I'm at such and such dealership. And I'm like, oh my God, I didn't even realize we had that kind of a dealership. And it's not built into our CAD system. It was that new. And so I had to like Google it in order to get an address. And then I found an address and was able to put in the call. But it's like, if you have started a business, please tell us your address. Please tell us the premise number. Like, what is the landline there at the store? Who's responsible for that? Because if Google wasn't updated with that information, I wouldn't have known at all where to send somebody. You know what I mean? So keeping your city involved with, like, I mean, obviously the city is involved because you had to get the business license and all that and buy the property. But the police department, if you have an alarm company that's calling into us to tell us this is broken into, or if a person on the street is like driving by and they're like, this is weird, this is suspicious, giving us like that information is just so valuable. Especially I shouldn't have to Google to find an address for a business. But if we notice that that is something that isn't in our computer system, we have this like blue mail-in sheet that will like write out like, to such and such business, we are such and such, please give us your information, and we'll mail it out to you. And you can either mail it back, or I believe there's an email address that you can send that email to, or whatever else to do. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I had mentioned last time that it's nice when we send those out and the businesses will give us like their hours.
Oh yeah.
So if we're like, there's an alarm at 8 p.m., it might be people who are cleaning the business.
Yeah.
But if it's at 8 a.m. when they've been open at 7, maybe it's a legit kind of alarm.
Right.
Or something like that. And we don't require anyone to have a permit for a burglar alarm. So you can just set up your own burglar alarm and have it, and make sure your alarm company has all that information. Like Sammy talked about, some places need that. I don't know what it's for, but we don't.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Also, this will come out on December 1st, and we just interviewed Jameson from Rabbit SOS, and he said that it's a great gift for burglary devices. So if you want to, you know, amp up your security, you don't need a permit for it. If it's connected to an alarm company that's supposed to call for police, please give them that information. You don't have to call us and be like, hey, this is my address, here's my name and phone number, in case you don't have it in the system already. I mean, it's nice because then we can put it in there, but people don't usually call in for that. As long as you give that to your alarm company, if it is attached to an alarm company, that should be fine. But if you don't believe in alarm companies for whatever reason, you want to give us whatever information, just, you know, that's fine too. I think it's helpful. Also, the voice over internet protocol phone people, it's almost like a landline, but it's not. It's interesting because it routes you to whatever 911 center you have set up, basically like a landline. So it's like, if you're here in Loveland and you call 911, it'll route you directly to your 911 center, which is us. But if you're doing the VoIP phones, Erica, the other day, I'll let her tell this story.
The other day I was taking a 911 call and the address popped up on our Annie Ellie screen. And I looked at it. It was a Loveland address. The lady gave me her address, and it didn't match what was on my screen. So because it's VoIP and because it doesn't match, those two reasons, I definitely need to have her confirm the address.
Yeah.
And so I asked her again, and I said, because it's, or she might have said it, and then I said, well, I'm showing blah, 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 blah address. And she goes, no, that's in Colorado. And I feel like I, like, looked around and was like, I'm in Colorado. That's correct. And she goes, I'm in whatever state, excuse me, whatever state on the East Coast. And I said, okay, well, your VoIP phone is showing Loveland, so I can give you the non-emergent number to wherever your agency is, and you can call them and tell them you have an emergency. She goes, no, I'll just call from my cell phone. And just such a good example that when you're in a panic, you're going to default to whatever phone you normally do. Thank goodness she had her correct address. Because if she had given me what's on the screen,
yeah,
I would have been like, yep, matches what you're telling me. We are good to go. Here comes the ambulance. And they would have shown up and not...
not the right place.
Yeah, definitely not even the right time zone. So update that information. VoIP phones, you are responsible for yourself. If you have, like, we have CenturyLink here in Colorado. If you have a CenturyLink landline, you can call them and say, hey, I'm moving to this address or whatever. And they'll be like, okay, cool. Boop, boop, boop. Whatever they do on their end, whenever you move, tell us that you're there and your new phone landline will start that day. But with VoIP phones, it's all on you. So when you move and you're changing your mailing address or you're changing your car registration or your driver's license, which has to be done within so many days.
So I've heard.
Do your VoIP phone too.
Yeah.
Because if that doesn't get updated, you don't have to tell, obviously, the VoIP company that you are moving. If you don't do it, no one's going to update it. So if it's an open 911, I'm sending people to that address.
Yeah. And same thing with, like, alarm companies. I've had several medical calls where they'll tell me such and such patient is here at this address, and we go there and, like, somebody's there and they're like, yeah, we just moved here. That person doesn't live here anymore. So then, and we don't have a phone number to contact them. And it's like, oh my gosh, how do we find this person who needs medical assistance when, like, the address that we were given, it, like, thankfully, like, we, it takes a lot of time. And if you get lucky, which we did, like, we were able to find something else.
Mm-hmm.
And we went there, and that's thankfully where the patient was. But it's like, if we hadn't have had that, then, like, what would have happened to that person? Mm-hmm. So it's our reach only goes so far, you know, so we can only do as much as we can with the information that we're given. So thankfully, we have tools and resources that help us out, but we can't always figure it out, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But to Erica's story, again, it's important to update that information as soon as you move, especially because you default to what you know. So she, it was a female, right? It doesn't matter.
Yes.
So this person went to their landline because, or their VoIP phone, because that's what they, or they, that's what they do. And that's what they wanted to do. And in any other case, it would have been successful. We would have just sent help and everything would have been fine. But, like, now, what are the chances that she's going to go back to that VoIP phone?
Mm-hmm.
And that VoIP phone is more, as long as you update the information, it's more accurate with your location, as long as it's not, like, outside of that area. And now she's going to default to her cell phone, and it's like, what happens if the cell phone fails?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, now we're creating this system of, like, expectations that should have been met, but then they weren't. So I just don't want the system to fail people. And it's unfortunate that such a small thing could lead to them distrusting the system. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So this is why we're here doing a friendly reminder of change your things so it doesn't fail you, so that you don't have to try to figure it out yourself or whatever means you think you feel like you have to take. Because we're here for you again. Then... anyways, on to better and brighter days. So some medical alarms do EMD. And if you've seen our episodes, I think we crammed it into one or two. I don't remember. Seen our episodes about that. It's really nice. We get very clear, precise information, and we are able to do life-saving instructions based off of that, like CPR, bleeding control, choking, a lot of things we can help out with. Those medical alarms, I know of Five Star that does it. Mm-hmm. So if you have Five Star, they do the same protocols that we do. They have those life-saving techniques that we do. So you are able to get your help right away. And then they have other operators that can give us, like, as they're helping you, they can call us and say, this is what we have at this address, and we can start sending help. I mean, there is obviously that, like, couple of second gap, but with like Five Star and other companies like that, you still are getting the same service. Mm-hmm. So it's super helpful. I think I recommend it just because I'm a little biased.
Right.
But otherwise, I think that's it.
I'll just mention too really quickly that medical alarm company is the other.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It's the weird one.
Yeah. Like, that's very simple. Oh, I thought I hit you. Sorry. This is not, it's a cord, not Sammy. it's a very straightforward name, and that's exactly what they do. They are a medical alarm company.
Yeah. Anyways, if you get anything from this, if you own a business, if you have a burglar alarm or any type of alarm in your life, please, please, please update the information as much as it needs to be. I think it'd be nice, like, once a year, just check over and make sure that the phone number, if you got a new phone, like, everything's up to date. If you've moved, who knows what the possibilities might be that updated information might be needed, but it's important to us so that we can get accurate information and get help to you as soon as possible, and or reach out to you if something has happened to the location that you're in charge of. So that's it. I hope you guys enjoyed. I'm Sammy. I don't know why I'm like signing off.
I'm like America.
This is NBC. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. So do you guys have any questions? Just email us at howto911podcast@cityofloveland.org. I also think that this is where I interjected last time with saying, like, hey, if you email us and you expect a response back from howto911@cityofloveland.org, that's not going to happen. That basically is just like a little umbrella catch-all that sends an email to myself and Erica and the supervisors and everybody else that helps monitor howto911. So you're going to get an email back from Erica and I's work email. So just keep an eye out. If you just are looking through and you're just like, some weird girl named Sammy just sent me an email. That's me. It's me. It's legit me. If it says .org at the end, it's for sure me. And I'm just responding back to your inquiry or your episode idea or whatever you might've reached out to us for. I'm sorry. I hope it doesn't go to junk. But I just want to explain that to people so you can be on the lookout for it. Because we've responded to a lot of people that have sent us emails and we haven't gotten like one response back. Except for like, I mean, I think we've gotten like one. But it's just, I want to point that out just in case people aren't aware. Anyways, you can find us on Instagram at howto911podcast. And Facebook at Loveland Emergency Communication Center. And that's about it. This comes out December 1st, and I believe that we are starting a new process for hiring on this day that we're recording, which is like November, the end of November. So I think that this hiring process is going to go through December 15th, if I'm correct. If not, don't quote me on that. It just got posted, so I'm not really too refreshed on the information, but please, 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 if you're in the area, if you know anybody that has been interested, or if you've listened to the podcast and you're like, dang, this sounds like a lot of fun, or I think I can handle that, please, like, go to cityofloveland.org and go to the job options, and you'll find us there, and it'll tell you what all you need and what all is required. And I mean, I don't know if you guys can tell from this podcast, but I really love my job. So that's it. Finally, let's get to the very, very end. Know where you are, know your phone number, and tell us exactly what happened.